Hello and welcome to Life is Tough, Keep Going. My name is Chrysandra and I am so excited to kick things off with episode one, our maiden voyage. I am so excited to shine light on topics that I am very passionate about, and I'm even more excited that you have tuned in to hear what I have to say. And maybe if I get it right, you can even walk away with a new skill or two. I'd like to open this first episode with what you can expect from this podcast, as well as a wee bit about who I am and why I'm here. So, life is tough. Keep going. This is a podcast where we talk about life, the tough stuff, the fun stuff, the emotional stuff, and everything in between. It's a discussion of all things mental health, not a bunch of clinical jargon that you can find in a textbook, but real life examples. Things that most of us, if not all of us, have or will experience at some point in our lives. We will discuss wins, failures, mistakes, successes, and how to accept things that we would rather just avoid. In short, this is the stuff that many of us push down as far as we possibly can, cover our eyes and ears, and pretend that it does not exist. Emotions and feelings? No thanks. So then why, you ask, am I creating a podcast that discusses the very thing that we all try desperately to avoid day after day? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm choosing to walk toward the uncomfortable because no matter how much we try to tell ourselves that we're fine and we have it all together, stress, anxiety, overwhelming responsibilities, deadlines, family and relationship struggles, essentially the shit part of life, still exists for most, if not all of us. And look, I'm not going to sit here and suggest that we are just walking time bombs, all of us, about to explode at any moment under the crazy, intense pile of stress we're under. In fact, I'm quite certain that many of you have discovered some amazing strategies throughout your life that help you cope, function, and move from day to day. Because if you hadn't, you probably wouldn't be here with me right now. Survival instincts for the whim, am I right? Oh, and sidebar, I tend to get super nerdy over the amazing wonder that is the human brain. I'll try to reel it in, but I make no promises. So, while we all cope in a variety of ways and to various degrees, the reality is that we all need a space to feel and explore these vulnerable, uncomfortable emotions, which, sorry to bust your bubble, still exist under the tough exterior that many of us have created for ourselves. So that's why we're here, to talk about the gross, vulnerable, uncomfortable, shitty stuff, to resist pushing the hard stuff away and instead walk towards it. And hey, if you are someone who has created big, beautiful walls to protect yourself, I am not here to tell you to bust them down. I don't know you. I don't know your story, and if you have a wall, it likely serves a purpose or has served a purpose at some point in your life. More on this in another episode. What I will tell you is vulnerability is going to be your friend. Ugh, is that a scary thing to hear? You're damn right it is. Is it going to be tricky? Most likely, especially if you haven't had much experience with being vulnerable with your raw emotions. Is it necessary to be vulnerable? To a certain extent, yeah. Being open-minded and a wee bit vulnerable may allow you to see things from a new perspective. Sometimes we find ourselves stuck in the negative parts of our lives. The longer we stay stuck, the more we begin to rationalize or even normalize the negativity. When we take a step back and allow ourselves to acknowledge and take ownership of the parts of our lives that could be better, change becomes slightly more achievable. At the end of the day, we're all doing the best we can with what we have. And when we know better, we do better. The goal of this podcast is not to tell you that life is going to be 100% perfect 100% of the time. I'm not trying to sell you anything. As great as that would be to experience zero stress and discomfort, it's completely unrealistic. Rather, the goal is to share insight that I have picked up along the way as a person, as a parent, and as a professional. To share some skills that have worked really well for me and we've found have been helpful for many of my clients. To help spread the word and expose common struggles and challenges. hopefully allowing someone to feel less alone with their negative thoughts and worries. And maybe, just maybe, help someone experience the beauty and ultimate reward of self-respect, self-awareness, and self-love. Because you deserve it. We all do. We cannot change what has happened in our lives. And yet, we can find ways to thrive, despite what we may have gone through. Life is tough. Let's find a way to keep going. All right, that is a summary of what you can expect from this series. Each episode will be about 30 minutes long, give or take, with a new episode being released each week. Because the topics of these episodes are raw, real, straight up, not fucking around, it would be irresponsible of me to not include a trigger warning at the beginning of each episode. We all have different experiences in our lives, and what may be triggering for one person is not necessarily activating for another. Be extra kind to yourself. Take care of your needs as you come across and come along for this journey. Please, please, please. So important. Notice if you're needing some extra self-care, extra grounding, if we're discussing something that may hit home for you, and take the time that you need. Remember, we are working to not push these uncomfortable feelings away. Our journey to vulnerability starts right now. For the episodes that may be more intense, such as topics involving trauma, grief, depression, and the like, we'll end the episode with a mindful grounding activity to keep us present. I highly encourage you not to skip these exercises. They may seem like a minor detail, but they make a big impact on our well-being. And of course, while this podcast will hopefully be informative, supportive, and fingers crossed, a great way to gain some helpful new tools, it is not a substitute for individual psychotherapy and should not replace medical advice. If you need some extra support, please, please, please check out some local resources for mental health support and services in your area. Take care of yourself. You deserve it. We need you here, and you are important. Okay, friends, we have the summary. You've been warned that shit is about to get real. You're going to take really good care of yourself, and you're still listening. That's awesome. So let's briefly jump into a little bio about who I am and why I am here talking to you. Again, my name is Cassandra. I am a registered clinical counselor in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. I work with humans of all ages, backgrounds, all abilities, and I am so unbelievably grateful to do what I do. I've been working in the mental health field for about 11 years and working as a therapist for the past just about 5 years. And while I dabble in all areas of the mental health field, my heart, and as a result, most of my training, has led me to focus on cases involving trauma, anxiety, depression, human behavior, and more specifically, how all the stuff that comes along with these experiences get trapped in the body. Somatic work, learning how to notice the cues our body is giving to us, has been such a game changer in my own healing journey, and being able to share these crazy, super empowering skills with my clients and even with some of my family members just makes my heart so happy. Along with being a professional, I'm also a parent. My number one job, the most rewarding, most important, and let's be real, the most stressful part of my life at times. If you're a parent, you catch my drift, you know where I'm coming from. Being a parent is such a trip. Loving someone so much it hurts, and also wondering how such a small human can make you want to tear out every single last hair on your head. It's mind-boggling. I can't even. Most of the experience that I have and I will share with you about parenting, wins, successes, mainly failures and mistakes come from my own personal experience of parenting because, like I say, if you're a parent, you understand there is no manual. We have no idea what we're doing. We're just, you know, trying things out and hoping that it works. So that is the most rewarding job for me is my parenting and also the craziest. So buckle up for those discussions because it's going to be really fun. So parent, professional, animal lover, nature lover, imperfect human is me in a nutshell. I am here because, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, I am incredibly passionate about these topics and I love to talk about them. And while my family will humor me to a certain extent and let me ramble excitedly about mental health, I cannot expect them to patiently listen to my living room TED Talks as often as I would like to give them. So here we are. Welcome to my TED Talk. Okay, housekeeping done. Yay. Time to move on to the topic of the day. This is something I love to talk about ad nauseum. Something every single person should have, and something, if I am being completely honest, I struggle with from time to time. That's right, my friends. I am talking about the big B word. Let's say it together. Boundaries. Yes, boundaries. Something that we talk about often and noticed often. It's something that, gets thrown around quite a bit, but do we really know what they are? And if we do know what they are, why do we tend to struggle with them more often than not? Why do we tend to struggle with them in some instances and not others? So we're going to go through boundaries and have a look at that. We're going to be talking about what are boundaries exactly. We're going to have a look at the types of boundaries that we can have as an individual. Why do we struggle with setting boundaries at times? Why are boundaries important? How do we enforce boundaries? And we'll have a look at that in terms of how do we do that for ourselves and why is that important for our own well-being and for building relationships and maintaining healthy relationships. All right, so let's start with the basics. What are boundaries? So in a general sense, boundaries are simply guidelines. They're rules and expectations that we have to keep ourselves safe. Sometimes it's simple to think about boundaries as an actual tangible boundary. So let's consider a fence in a backyard. That fence is there to indicate a property line, to indicate that, you can't cross that line. It's meant to keep people in. So if I have my pets or my kids playing in the backyard, that fence line, that boundary helps to keep them safe by keeping them within my yard. Just like if someone walks up to the fence and they're on the other side of the yard, they know, hey, this boundary line is in place and I'm not to cross it. If someone randomly hops my fence and jumps into my yard and I notice this, it's going to result in me feeling a little violated. Somebody has crossed over my fence line, and that is literally crossing a boundary. If, for example, I decide to open up the gate and let somebody in, that's my choice. I am allowing them to enter into my space, and that is okay. And so that tangible boundary sometimes can be easy to acknowledge and to notice. So we have the fence, we have lines on a road. We have markings on a basketball court, right, that tells us what is in bounds and what's out of bounds. And we can look at that, and that all makes sense. It's simple to observe, and it's simple to understand those types of boundaries. Now, when we look at individual boundaries or personal boundaries, that's maybe not so tangible, right? We can't see it right in front of us. We can feel it and we can experience it, but sometimes it's hard to outright be aware of them. So we're going to go through the types of boundaries that we have as individuals. And first and foremost, it's so important to acknowledge that having boundaries and enforcing boundaries is a basic human right. All of us have boundaries, whether we know it or not. And my boundaries are going to be different from your boundaries. Everyone's boundaries are going to be a little bit different because we're all different people. We have different experiences. We have different likes and dislikes. We've had different experiences growing up that maybe have enforced our boundaries or the opposite, caused us to maybe not have super strong boundaries. So we're all different. What we all have in common is that boundaries are important. So here's some of the types of boundaries that we have as individuals. So the first one that comes up that most people will think of when they think of a boundary is a physical boundary, right? It's knowing whether or not you like to be touched. It's a hug, right? And our boundaries can change depending on who we're around. So we might want to hug a friend, but we might not want to hug somebody who's walking down the street, and that's okay. We might be okay holding hands with our partner, but maybe we don't want to hold hands with our classmate. So boundaries can change depending on the person that you're around. So we have a physical boundary on whether or not you like to be touched. We have a sexual boundary, and that is, as it is in the title, our sexual boundaries, what we're okay with in a sexual sense. It's consent. It's saying, yes, this is okay, no, this isn't okay, and having that boundary laid out to keep our well-being intact and safe in a sexual way. There are emotional boundaries. So emotional boundaries is protecting our emotions. So how much we share with somebody else and how much we keep to ourselves is an emotional boundary. Healthy emotional boundaries might include limitations on personal information, right? And same thing, that may be dependent on the person that we're with. We might share something really close with our partner or our best friend, but we might not share it with somebody who we're not as close with. So that would be an emotional boundary. We have intellectual boundaries, and intellectual boundaries are referring to our thoughts and ideas. So it's feeling safe sharing those thoughts and ideas, and then respecting other people's intellectual boundaries would be allowing them to share their thoughts and feelings and feel safe doing that, and knowing what you want to talk about and what you don't want to talk about. Maybe you don't want to talk about politics. Maybe you don't want to talk about religion. So that's within your intellectual boundaries to decide whether or not you're going to have those conversations. We have things like time boundaries, and time boundaries are how much time we spend doing something or with a particular person. So when we're trying to divide our time up in a day, we're deciding how much time we want to spend with this particular person, how much time we want to spend on our extracurricular activities, how much time we want to spend watching television, right? All of those time boundaries, when we're dividing up our very busy schedules, is within our boundary, and that's again going to be different for each person depending on what their priorities are. We have spiritual boundaries. So spiritual boundaries is our right to be able to participate in what we believe in, whether that be religion, whether that be meditation, whether that be out in nature, right? So our ability to be spiritual, however we feel necessary, that's necessary for us, and having the right to do that without feeling judged or criticized by that. And finally, we have material boundaries. And material boundaries are essentially referring to money, possessions, things that we own. So it's whether or not we're going to lend our possessions to somebody. It's whether or not we're going to lend money to somebody. Again, very, very dependent on the person that we're around. I would imagine I will probably be more likely to lend my vehicle to a close family member than I would be to somebody that I don't know very well. So those material boundaries are important because those possessions are really important to us. And we get to choose on who we do and do not lend those things to. So, of course, there's going to be different subcategories within each type of boundary. They're all going to kind of branch off. As we see with these main seven types of boundaries, is that it's very person dependent. Each person is going to have their own boundaries and limits that are going to be different than the next person. And there isn't one or more thing that's wrong. It's just depending on what makes you feel safe and comfortable and who you're with, right? So it's really going to be dependent on that. So that brings me to my next point of why do we seem to struggle with setting boundaries at times? And again, this is something that's really personal for me, is that I have a really hard time setting boundaries. I'm really good at some things, and then when it comes to other things, I'm not as great at. So sometimes with family members, I'm not as good at setting boundaries, right? I kind of give a lot of time to things, and it stresses me out. Same thing with work sometimes. Sometimes I put a lot of my energy into work, maybe energy that I don't necessarily have because I have a hard time saying no. I'm getting better at this, but and it's something that I'm practicing, but it's always been a struggle for me is this idea of saying no, sorry, I don't have the emotional energy for this. And it's something that I'm working on, and I know that that's something that a lot of my peers also struggle with that I've heard. So why do we struggle with setting boundaries at times? There's so many reasons for this, and these things are not exhaustive. Again, there's so many possibilities for this. Past experiences is something that comes up. Was there a point in your life where maybe it wasn't safe to explore boundaries, right? Maybe it wasn't safe to say, hey, this isn't okay, or this is a boundary of mine. Maybe that wasn't an option for you. And then that's kind of progressed over the time where you've maybe suppressed some of those boundaries because at that point in your life, it wasn't safe. And now we perceive that sense of unsafe, that feeling of being unsafe if we enforce our boundaries. So perhaps it was a past experience. Another thing is, how were boundaries modeled as you grew up? Did you have role models that set healthy boundaries, that showed you how to set healthy boundaries? Do we know what that is? Right? Is that something that we had a chance to experience in our life in a healthy way? Or maybe the models that we had growing up didn't have their own boundaries in place, so we never really had an opportunity to create our own healthy boundaries because we just didn't know what that is. So regardless of the reason why we have problems setting boundaries, if it's a fear of saying no, if it's a sense of feeling unsafe to share our boundaries, there's so many different reasons for it. And there's different ways that we can approach boundaries too. There's three main considerations when it comes to boundaries. So we can have rigid boundaries. And rigid boundaries are boundaries that are absolutely, we do not bend on. There's no flex to them whatsoever. Those are hard no's, non-negotiables. Maybe it's something like, I refuse to go out of my house past 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock p.m. rolls around. I am not going out. It doesn't matter who calls me. My phone goes off. I am homebound and ain't nobody getting me out of here, right? Maybe that's a rigid boundary of mine. We might have permeable boundaries. Those are the boundaries that are overly flexible. We might look at those people who have lots of permeable, that's a difficult word to say, permeable boundaries as someone who is, quote, a doormat, right? They claim to have these boundaries in place, but they never really stick to them, right? They're always kind of giving in and doing things for other people. Maybe that, 10 o'clock rule, I'm so firm on it, but then I have somebody that calls me and I'm going, oh, okay, I guess they really need me, and I leave the house. And if that happens every once in a while, we call that a flexible boundary, right? It's something that, okay, here's my boundary, but maybe something comes up that's I didn't foresee. And in this instance, maybe it's okay to be flexible. Maybe it was my kid that called me and they really needed help. And so I needed to leave the house past 10 o'clock, right? So it's not me being a doormat. It's me recognizing, hey, sometimes I need to be flexible with these boundaries because life needs me to be flexible sometimes, right? So the rigid boundaries where we have absolutely no flex whatsoever, that's set in stone, I'm not changing my boundaries. We have the permeable boundaries where it's kind of doormat mentality. We're always giving in. We're not holding up our boundaries whatsoever. There's no expectations for anyone to follow our boundaries because we're not staying firm with them. And then there's the flexible. And that's kind of where we want to be most of the time. Sometimes we need to have those rigid boundaries, especially if it's a safety thing. Sometimes we need to be permeable, right? Like in my job, I need to recognize that I need to kind of be a little bit more agreeable when it comes to some of my clients. And then when it comes to flexibility, that's kind of a good place to be, right? That's the happy medium. Where we want to sit is those flexible boundaries. So we're going to be more lenient in some situations, and that's okay. It's okay to be flexible. The most important part is being aware. So why are we talking about this? Why are boundaries important? I said before that I love talking about boundaries, that it's so important to talk about boundaries, that we need them. Why? Why are they important? Why is it such a big deal? So we have boundaries to keep ourselves safe. That's what we've established. It's a sense of safety and well-being. We need to understand what our own needs are, right? We all kind of have, like, we've lovingly dubbed our gut as our second brain, right? And if something is happening that is that gut feeling, and that is our body saying, hey, something doesn't feel right. So it's important to understand our boundaries because we're understanding our needs at the same time. Our needs are important. As human beings, we need to have our needs met. And that's just to be happy, right? We need to be able to have our needs met in order to be happy with our life and be able to go through life in a way that that doesn't feel like we're just giving in, like we are having clear expectations for ourselves, clear expectations for others, right? When we understand what our boundaries are, we're understanding what our needs are, we can express those needs to other people and expect that those other people are going to respect our boundaries. So it's important to have those boundaries. It's important to understand those boundaries for ourselves so we know what our needs are and to be able to communicate them to other people. In order to have that healthy relationship that we're all looking for, and when I say relationship, I'm not just saying like a romantic relationship with a partner, but relationships in terms of friendships, family relationships, work relationships. Those are all important relationships that we have in our lives, important connections that we have in our lives, and all of them require a clear expectation and communication of boundaries for it to work. They need to communicate their boundaries to us so we know that what they expect of us and we know how they want to be treated, just like we need to communicate our boundaries to them so they understand our needs and our expectations on how we want to be treated as a human being. So if we've gone through that list of boundaries, we've really honed in on what's important to us, we've listened to that second brain, our gut, this feels good, this doesn't feel good. How do we now communicate that? How do we enforce them? So first, we understand what they are. We know what our boundaries are. We know why they're important. Second, we remember that having boundaries is a basic human right. I'm going to say that one more time for the people at the back. Having boundaries is a basic human right. We all need them. And it is an expectation that others respect them. It's not extra. It's not a maybe. It is an expectation that when you communicate your boundaries to somebody, they respect them. It's not okay once you've communicated your boundaries, it's not okay for people to just walk all over them and do whatever they want. That's not healthy. You don't deserve that. We need to find ways to communicate our boundaries in a healthy way. We let others know what our boundaries are. This is okay. This isn't okay. If we have a relationship, again, that connection with a friend, with a family member, with a coworker, with a partner, if we have that relationship, if we've communicated our boundaries in a clear way, and that person is continuously not respecting that ba those boundaries, that could be a sign that we need to reevaluate that relationship. And that's a tough discussion, right? It's important that we look at the relationships that are in our life. And we evaluate whether or not this person is bringing us up or if they're kind of pushing us down. And if our boundaries are constantly being compromised, that might be a bit of a red flag. And that relationship piece, that healthy relationship, what that looks like, that's going to be a big part of our conversation for the next week because It fits in with the boundaries really nicely. And it's important to really discuss what a healthy relationship looks like, because relationships are a big part of our life. Connection is a big part of our life. So it's really important that we have a really deep dive into that and take a look at that. Let's just recap on this boundary situation. So, boundaries are those guidelines, expectations that we have to keep us safe. So, just like a fenced backyard, our personal boundaries are there to communicate our well-being and to keep ourselves safe. There's seven main types of boundaries. We have our physical boundaries, sexual boundaries, emotional boundaries, intellectual boundaries, time, spiritual, and material boundaries. So sometimes we can struggle with these boundaries because of past experiences. Maybe we didn't have the best role models growing up. We might be more lenient in some situations, and that's okay. Sometimes we have really rigid boundaries. Sometimes we need to have more permeable boundaries. What we're aiming for is those flexible boundaries, allowing ourselves to kind of flex and give when we need to, and when we need to be strong and rigid, we're able to do that too. Boundaries are so important for communicating our own needs to ourselves and for other people, and boundaries are also a very pivotal part of healthy relationships. We enforce them by understanding what they are and remembering that having boundaries is a basic human right. We need to let others know what is okay and what's not okay. All right, my friends, we have made it to the end of our first episode. I am so excited and I'm so happy to be here. I'm gonna apologize for my stuffy nose. I'm sure that you can all hear my like sinus situation that I have going on right now, so I appreciate you sticking with me and going through this discussion with me, and I'm so looking forward to next week when we talk about relationships, comparing healthy relationships to a maybe less than healthy relationship, or even a toxic relationship, and just kind of recognizing the warning signs for that, how to notice it, how to connect that back to your boundaries, and then what we can do about it. So thank you so much for being with me this week. I cannot wait to come back next week when we have a look at those relationships. And for now, I invite you all to be kind, be well, and keep going.